I'll be reading Luke 5:27-32. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their section, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to redemption.
Next week is our Friends and Family Day, and I am so excited. I love friends and family. We get a chance to have those that we really love to be with us on a special day and to share a meal with us, and two meals, a spiritual feast and a physical feast, and it's always a great, great meal, a great, great day. I hope you are planning for Friends and Family Day and have already invited a lot of your friends, a lot of your family. I hear people say, of course, we have, you know, our fellowships every month. And I've had people say, "Boy, you folks over at Johnson, y'all sure do like to eat." And I say, "We sure do." But, you know, I mean, you show me somebody that doesn't like to eat, and I'll show you somebody that's not long for this world. You know, I mean, that's just part of living. But we do enjoy it because we are a very close family, and families love to do things together. And we enjoy our times that we get to sit down, and I hope that next week is an awesome day like that. I want to, in preparation for our 12th annual Friends and Family Day, I want to take you back to a Friends and Family Day that happened over 2,000 years ago. It was a Friends and Family meal where Jesus got to attend. It was put on by a man by the name of Levi. And Levi had invited his friends and family to come over for a banquet feast because he had some good news. He had found Jesus. And his good news was, "I have changed my life." Now, at that Friends and Family, there were three different kinds of people there, three different groups of people. And that's where I want us to look this morning, because we find a lesson, I believe, in these three groups of people that were at Levi's Friends and Family Day. The first, of course, was Levi himself. And Levi's attitude on this day was, "This is a great celebration." I said that Levi's life had changed, and it definitely had, dramatically, because Levi was a tax collector. Now, being a tax collector was a horrible thing to the Jewish people, because most of the time they were Jews that had collaborated with the Roman government. And so most of the time they were unscrupulous. You see, it didn't pay a salary. The way that tax collectors earned their money, and it was a good money-making deal, was that the Roman government would say, I want 300 shekels from this area. Well, if they could collect 600 shekels without causing a big uproar, then that was all profit. And so they were very, very hated by the people. In fact, in the New Testament, tax collectors and sinners were used interchangeably. That's just how bad it was to be a tax collector. And it affected his whole family. Tax collectors couldn't go to the temple, and neither could their family. I mean, they were banned from the temple. So everybody in Levi's family was affected by the fact that he was a tax collector. And now that he's left that, you know, we don't realize, people, how our sin affects everybody. Everybody in our whole family, thank you, is affected by our sin. You say, well, it's my life. I get to do with it what I want to do. Yes and no. Yes, it is your life. No, it doesn't. You don't get to do whatever you want to do with it. Not if it affects your family. And so when Levi makes this decision, he makes a decision that affects everybody in his family. And it says here in Luke chapter 5 that whenever Jesus calls Levi, it said he left all and followed him. Those two words are very important, because what they tell us is that Levi is going to make a huge transformation in his life. He left all. And when he say that, he's leaving his money. Because again, this was a financially lucrative position. So when Levi gets up from his desk and decides to follow Jesus, he leaves all of his money behind. And in the financially focused 21st century world that we live in, that very much enters into many of our decisions. But for Levi, he had found something. Watch it now. Worth more than his gold. He had found Jesus. Not only did he leave a very lucrative job, but whenever Levi left, he left it for good. Because when Levi left all to follow Jesus, he burned his bridges. There is no going back. And this is a big mistake that so many times people make whenever they obey the gospel, when they come back to God. They don't change places. They don't change faces. And it's not long before right back they go. Levi is going to leave this for good. He's not going back. He burned his bridges. And not only that, but when it says that he left all, he did it immediately. He didn't have to think about it. He did it immediately. We have time when we have today. But the only time that we are guaranteed of is this second. Oh, we already missed the next guarantee. Life is a vapor. Appears for a little while, and then it's gone. When we need to get back to the Master, we need to get back now. Now. Because we do not have tomorrow. That belongs to God. Well, I love the example of Levi. It's an awesome example. It's a great example for us. And Levi's action was to throw a party, a banquet. A great banquet, it says, and invite his friends and his family. Because he had something, some good news to share. But the only friends he's got is other tax collectors and kind of maybe some of the outcasts of the town. That's all the friends he's got. So when he invites his friends to Friends Day, that causes a big, big problem with this next group that's in our story. Because the next group that was in our story is the Pharisees. Oh, the Pharisees. Pal, they didn't like this. I mean, they weren't at the party, invited to the party, but they were hanging around because they wanted to show their contempt. Here's an attitude for you. The Pharisees are complaining. They were shocked. They were indignant. And in verse 34, or verse 30, it says here that their reaction was, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" They're speaking to Jesus. You got a status quo to uphold. You're supposed to be a teacher. You've got followers, and now why in the world are you associating with tax collectors and sinners? Well, I guess to be fair, we ought to say that the Pharisees were, well, at least in theory, they were the protectors of the law. They were to keep the law pure. That was what they felt like that their responsibility was. The only problem was that they had devised all sorts of traditions and rituals and rules and regulations that were not the law. They were in the business of building fences. And usually when a person is in the fence building business, they always build the fence so that they're on the inside. And what they had done was they had closed out so many people. This was, this was their idea of keeping the law pure. So you can imagine their indignation whenever Jesus was willing to speak to women and Samaritans and tax collectors. He was willing to talk to women. Did you just see that pious Pharisee? Women? He would talk to women? Yes, and Samaritans. Samaritans? A Samaritan? Now, are you sure he was willing to talk to Samaritans? Well, he went through their country. He didn't travel around, went right smack through the country. Sat down with a woman of ill repute and talked to her, and she went back in the city, and all these Samaritans came out, and he spent time talking to Samaritans? You have got to be kidding. Now, he is not going to be talk to Samaritans. Tax collectors. Selected one of them for his disciple. So, man, tax collectors, women, Samaritans, we got to kill him. We got to kill him. And that's exactly what they did. At best, they were condescending. In Luke chapter 7, do you remember that story there about Simon the Pharisee? Jesus went to his house to eat. And while Jesus was there, a woman came and she was weeping, and her tears, she washed Jesus' feet with her hair. She wiped his feet, and this Simon the Pharisee said, if this man was a prophet, he'd know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Here was someone whose heart had been broken by sin and her life had been touched by grace, and all he could see was how contemptible she was, how stupid Jesus must be to let her be even touching him. At best, they were condescending. At worst, they were contemptuous. In Luke 15, verse 2, this man receives sinners, they said. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They thought that they were insulting Jesus, but what they were really doing was paying him a very, very high compliment. You see, the Jews taught that if a sinner returns to God, that God will receive him. But Jesus taught that the love of God actually goes and seeks the sinner. When a Jesus associated with a tax collector, he invoked the contempt of the Pharisees. You remember he associated with another tax collector, a wee little man, you remember, by the name of Zacchaeus? And on that occasion they said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, was Jesus' reply to their accusations of him eating with tax collectors and sinners. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We need to be very careful that Jesus' enemies are just not on the outside. Because really, to be fair, there are those in our world today that have a hard time with this concept of reaching out to those that are sinners. In fact, we can, in the church, we can lose our way. Here's my point. If we really want to be the church of Christ, if we want to be the church like Jesus, we have to remember that the church is not a museum for the petrified pure, but it is a hospital for the sin-sick soul. And we have to be willing to seek those that are lost. It's easy to build a building and say, here we are, come get it. Instead of going and saying, will you come with me? And that's what next week gives us an opportunity to do. To our friends and our family, to say, come, go with me. Spend the day with me. Worship with me. And I hope we do not pass up this opportunity. Because isn't that what Dr. Jesus is telling us? When he said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. And then that brings us to the last person in our story here, and that's Jesus. And what we see here is that Jesus has a compassionate conviction. Now, by that I mean that he didn't excuse the sinner, but he didn't exclude them either. Jesus could never condone the contempt of the Pharisee, but he also could never condemn unholiness and sinfulness. In verse 32, Jesus says there, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. Now, I think you have to take a long look at verse 32 to see what Jesus was saying. Was he saying that the Pharisees were so righteous that they didn't need him? No. No. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that none are righteous. No, not one. What he was saying was to these contemptuous, self-satisfied Pharisee that they didn't think they needed him. Because they were self-centered, they were self-satisfied, they were self-righteous. Their righteousness was righteousness in their own eyes. But Jesus could and can see into our hearts. I want to give you a special invitation today. One that comes from a very special person. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your care upon me, for I care for you. That invitation, my friends, comes from our Jesus. And even this day, he longs for you to come. To hear his great truths, to believe them with your heart, repent of your sins, to confess that he is the Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've let the world become more important to you than it ought to be, his invitation is to come back home. I hope you'll hear the invitation of Jesus, because he's the best friend you've got. Will you come while together we stand and sing?